Well, we're gonna have some fun this morning. It's gonna look a little different. Are you coming up that way, buddy?
I think I can.
You think you can? Oh, nicely done. Yeah, just
I do what I can.
Listen, I want to make sure that you don't fall off the stage.
Oh, look, you're gonna go through.
Whoa, yeah, that would not be good. Two of us falling down.
If I do, that's my retirement plan.
Yeah, right.
Just to go all inclusive. Here I come.
Yeah, exactly. Please care for me as we do. So how many of you read this book or had this book read to you or you read it to your kids? The Little Engine That Could, right? So we're going to have a little bit of fun today talking about The Little Engine That Could. And I know some of you are going, why aren't we preaching from the Bible? We'll get to the Bible. But this was my favorite story when I was a kid. And it was also the book that I loved to read to our kids when they were little. And I don't know if you remember the story or not, but there was an important train load of toys that need to go from one side of the mountain to the other side of the mountain. And the engine that was supposed to do it couldn't do it. And so the little engine, the engine that was supposed to do it went around the train yard, remember the story, and asked the one person, well, would you take it? I'm too important. I have a trainload of important people that I need to take to the other side of the mountain. I can't do it. Went to another locomotive, and the locomotive said, can't you see that I'm very tired? I just came over the mountain. I can't do it. Somebody went to another engine, and I forget what the other engine said, but finally, the yard engine comes to the little engine and says, could you take this important load of toys over the mountain? And the little engine said, I think I can. So they hooked the train load of toys up to the little engine and over, and she started to climb up the hill. It's interesting, for those of you that are into this, the little engine that could is a she, not a he. Tuck that away in the original, a she, not a he, right? And so the train goes, she starts to climb up the mountain. I think I can. And when the mountain got steep, she went slower. I think I can. You're not helping me here. I think I can. And then the train, little engine that could, got to the top of the mountain. And as she started to go down the other side, she said, I knew I could. And you know, it's interesting because all across Canada right now, there are all kinds of hockey fans thinking about the Edmonton Oilers, and they're saying, are you ready? I knew they could. Bruh, I built my whole introduction around that picture. Whoa! Don't flash us.
Church is over. You guys can all go home now.
I knew that you could take it. I knew you could take it.
I can't.
I know.
I'm a super poor sport.
I know. In your heart, you're going to be crying. If you had fasted a little bit.
This is going to be on social media and live forever.
Beautiful. Oh, it's totally. I'm putting it up tomorrow night when the Oilers win.
I can't go back to Calgary now. Help me, Jesus.
Okay, let's go to the next slide because we don't want to like overwound Claudia. We just want to have some fun. So I'm going to tell you what we're doing, what we've done, how we got here, and everything else, and where we're going this morning. So since February, our church, City Light Church, has been working through a vision discovery journey, and we had 35 people. We average right now 70 people on a Sunday morning in-house, not counting who's online, but 70 people on a Sunday morning. And so 35 of you helped us with this process. And we brought everybody together, and we asked you to pray ahead of time, and we gave you one question. And the question was this: if Jesus was to have his way, what would City Light look like 5 years from now? What could it look like 5 years from now if we all just let Jesus have his way with us? And so we did different groups, different places. And in fact, Wingapalooza came out of, what we did last Sunday, came out of one of those nights. And it was just kind of this crazy idea that somebody threw out, and it was like, hey, that would be actually a lot of fun. And so we're kicking off a series through the summer called The Little Church That Could. Because we believe this, that God has spoken to us, he is speaking to us through the voices of the 35 people who helped us with this process. We believe that as we have walked through this process very prayerfully and very carefully and very, very intentionally focused on, we want to hear your voice, God, give us a picture of what it is you want to do with City Light. We believe that this is what we've come to. So what we're going to do today is we're going to give you the three main pillars that we believe the vision for the future will be built on. And then Doug and Claudio are going to unpack the specifics next week, and then starting in July, yeah, it's not this week, Doug, take the week off, starting in July, we're going to go one by one. We're just going to walk through all the themes, and so you'll be able to track along, and all we're doing all summer is talking about vision, and where we believe Jesus wants to take us, what he wants to build, and that kind of a thing. So we hope you are excited, we hope you are inspired, we hope that you are filled with faith. So, there's the introduction. Claudio, what did we come up with? What did we see as we went along?
Well, first, the first thing I want to say is that we were very intentional as we went into this process because we want to use the word we and not us.
Yes.
And so we were very intentional about the process and inviting the body and the voice of the body into this process because we're going together. That's what we've been talking about for months and months. Let's go together. It was our hashtag. We still haven't had the shirts, but we're going to get the shirts made because that's cool to have shirts. And but the idea behind that is that we are going together. And so to come in and then sit down and start visualizing and start asking God where and how he wants us to go, we wanted to make sure that was representative of the entire body and not just the lead team sitting behind closed doors. So I just want to put that out there that you have been part of the process and it has been intentional.
Yes.
Because we want your voice in the middle of this because we're going to do the work together. It's not just going to be myself and Tim and Doug that are going to be carrying all of this vision. We're going to be walking through this as a body and as a family. So just so that we're all on the same page, this is why we've done it the way we are, and this is why we're going to keep doing it the way that we're doing it. So the first thing that I wanted to chat about this morning was our first pillar, and we're calling that spiritual environmentalists. So if we can go to that. There it is. Spiritual, we are spiritual environmentalists. Man, that sounds like a fancy title. And you guys know me. I'm not Joe Fancy. Like you saw that picture of me eating
Joe
wings.
Euler.
You saw me eating those wings. There's nothing fancy about me. But what I like to do is I like to be real and I like to speak in layman's terms. So spiritual environmentalists for me in layman's terms means this. It means that what we do as a body and as individuals outside of this body is that we create Christ-centered environments wherever we go. So wherever we find ourselves in our life, we're going to impact the environment around us and we're going to bring a Christ-centered environment. So that could be where you work, it could be where you rest and where you play. Because we're that impact environmental changer everywhere that we go in life. The idea behind it is it goes back to a sermon that I was able to preach just over a year ago, and I think you guys will remember. I like going back to this sermon because it gives us a good word picture of what a spiritual environmentalist actually does, and it's the ripple effect. And I think most of you will remember that. That, for me, that sermon was super impactful because it gave me a word picture of how this looks. And so just to kind of refresh your memory, the idea is you take a small stone and you throw it into a pond or into a lake, and what you get is you get ripples. And those ripples start from that moment of impact, and then they spread out. And that changes the environment. And so what happens when you take a handful of those stones and you throw it into that lake is that you have multiple ripple effects. You have one crashing into the other, and those are turning in turn make more and more ripple effects. That's how the environment is changed on that lake or on that pond. That's who we want to be where we go, whether it's work, whether it's play, whether it's rest, whether it's family. And the idea behind all of this is that it's not Sunday-centric. Now, Sunday is important. Please don't get me wrong. Sunday is super important in the sense that on Sunday, we come together and we celebrate. We celebrate the goodness of God. We celebrate the stories. We celebrate the answered prayers. And it's our chance to worship and thank God in those moments. Sundays are important. We grow together and we worship together and we pray together. We do all of those super important things together. But it's not about Sunday. If you're going to change the environment, it's about the Monday morning gospel. That's what we're going to work on, the Monday morning gospel. Sunday's easy. We all know the routine. We can come, and we can do church, and we can sing our songs, and we can do our sermon. We can do it like clockwork. When it really matters, it's the Monday morning gospel. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's what we're talking about here. When we're talking about Christ-centered environments wherever we go, we're going to go on Monday morning, and that's when the difference is going to be made. So that's one of the things that we want to do as a church, and we want that to be super foundational going forward.
That's so good. That's so good. Right? And it's all about having impact, immediate impact within our environment. That's why Jesus, when he talks about salt and light,
right,
neither one of those two are benign.
Right.
You throw salt into something, automatically there's a change.
Yeah.
Turn a light on, automatically there's a change. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about being a Christ-centered environment. Are you talking about shining brightly?
I can. Nice Rock transition.
It. Rock it.
Yeah, I can totally do that.
You're doing it, man.
I'm in, baby.
Woo!
We shine brightly. In what? In a world of shadows. Let's be realists here, folks. Do we live in a world of shadows? And it feels like more than ever, right? And I don't know if that's really the case or we just have so much access to information and what's going on in the world. But man, we live in a world of shadows. We live in a world where depression and anxiety and things like that, they rule lives. And this is the reality of where we're at. We're in places and in communities where the shadows seem to be winning. But they're not. Because what we can do is we can shine brightly.
Exactly.
We can shine brightly in those very moments. Like for me, City Light Church, I mean, it's in our name. City Light. Like that's not by accident. It's not that we just, you know, I mean, even when they came up with the name, it was before Heidi and I got here. So it's not like they threw it into like a name generator and said, hey, what's a good name for a church? Oh, hey, City Light. That'll look super cool on a logo. That's not how it works. It's very intentional. We're City Light Church for a reason. We're a light in this city.
Yes.
Like that's who we are. We're a light in this city and for the city because we're in a city that is overwhelmed by shadows. But we can shine brightly, not just for ourselves, but for the city because we could be a light that shines and we could be covered and it's just for ourselves. But the idea is we want to throw our doors open and we want to shine
brightly.
For the city. That's our mission field. Like we've talked about this lots of times, Tim, where our mission field is what we see when we step out this door. And it's the Gorge Tillicum area. And you could go down to the Gorge and you can go over to Admirals, you can go over to Tillicum and to the highway. And it doesn't seem like a lot of space there when you look at the world as a big, it's huge.
It is.
It's huge. It's a huge area, and this is our mission field. Like, this is where we are at. Like, we share literally neighbor fences. Like, that's what they're called. When you have your fence, like the one that we had built here with our neighbor, it's a neighbor fence. This is where we're at. This is where we live. This is where we work. This is where we play. Like, even if we live outside of this area, like, this is home for us. And so this is where we're planted to be the light. And this little area that we have, this little whatever the distance is, this is ours. It's like our garden box. Like we have garden boxes at home. And we tend to our garden boxes. And our garden boxes are 3x8x3. And it's just this little rectangle. And Heidi weeds this. And I don't. Okay, I'll be honest. But Heidi takes care of her garden box, and she goes out and she weeds it and she waters it and she loves it. And we get strawberries like crazy, and we get these beautiful fruit. And I never get any of them because Ruby hops the fence when she comes home from school, and she has to walk right by this garden. And there's never any red strawberries, but sometimes there's red on her fingers and red on her lips. And I'm like, the strawberries aren't coming in. She's like, yeah, I don't know what's going on there, Dad.
You know, if I can interrupt you for a second, I think there's two things in what you just talked about that really stand out to me. The first is that there is a prophetic dimension to our name, right? That every time we say City Light, it proclaims the destiny that we believe that God has for this church, is that we will be a light in the city and a light for the city. Yeah. Right? Not just here, but wherever we go, because City Light gathers here.
Right.
Right? City Light gathers here. The other thing that I think is really significant, and Doug and I chatted about this late last week, is that when you were looking for, it was before my time, before your time, right? When you were looking to buy a property, you had options. There were a whole bunch of places that you could have, the congregation could have chosen to purchase. But God brought you to this place, 550 Obed. And he didn't bring you here, kind of, he didn't bring the church here so that we can kind of, you know, gentrify the place or squat here and look past everybody else. He brought us here because he knew that the gifts, he knew that the calling, he knew that the anointing that rests on City Light Church would have an impact here. Somebody should say amen, right? Would have an impact here, right?
Yeah.
And so we're here on purpose, and we're here for purpose. Like, it's really easy to go, I care deeply about the people in Africa or in India or in South America or, you know, in First Nations. I care deeply about those people, and we should care deeply about those people. But in Acts 1 and 8, it's Jerusalem first. And Gorge Tillicum is our Jerusalem.
Right.
Gorge Tillicum is our Jerusalem. This is where we must begin. This is where our impact needs to be greatest.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And so then the question becomes, okay, if we're going to be the light, how do we do that? Like, how do we shine brightly? How do we shine brightly? Well, we have some thoughts on this. We have some ideas. I think our first step is we're proclaiming. And what we're doing is we're proclaiming a hope-filled message. Like, I think that's important.
So important.
Like a transformation message. Because that's what people need to hear. They need to hear a message that brings hope into their lives and a message that's going to change their lives. Because the truth is, like, your life is going to change when you begin to experience all the things that God has for you. And so that's the message that we want to give people. Your life will change when you start to experience all that God has for you. Like, it will change. We guarantee it. And it's not because of us. All we're doing is we're sharing the message that is hope-filled. It's a message of, like, it's a message of God's goodness, and it's a message of God's love, and it's a message of God's grace.
Yes.
And those things are foundational. Like, they're foundational to make an impact. They're foundational for us to shine brightly where we're at. Like, for us to share the message of God's goodness needs to be foundational for the identity of City Light Church.
Yes.
Like, if we're going to carry that name, City Light, then the message of God's goodness and his love and his grace, that has to be foundational. Like that's one of our building blocks. So that when people say, hey, have you heard about those guys down the street on Obed, those City Light guys? Yeah, I have. You know what? They share a message of love, and they share a message of grace, and they share a message of God's goodness. You should go check that out. And like, that should be the identity of City Light as people start talking about it. Like, it's word of mouth. Like, a good business, for lack of a better example, a good business will do very well when word of mouth gets out and people are like, hey, have you heard of Joe Blow down the street? They have the best croissants. hey, have you heard of that guy over there? He sells used tires, but man, he's an honest guy, and he'll give you the best tires for your car. It's word of mouth. What it is it becomes about your character, and people are talking about your character. And so for us to shine brightly, then foundationally, the identity of City Light has to be a message of goodness and of love and grace.
Yeah, it's so good. Romans tells us this, for I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ.
Yeah.
It is the power of God at work saving everyone who believes. It's the power of God at work. And so we certainly are committed to a bold proclamation of the good news of Jesus, right? On a Sunday morning, in our life groups, wherever that might be. But the other side of this is that we preach loudly just by the way we live our lives.
Yeah,
We preach loudly, right?
100%.
Preach the gospel. If necessary, use words.
100%. People are watching. Sometimes we don't think people are watching. People are watching.
Yeah.
And if they're looking at City Light and they're looking at the people that are coming in and out of this building on a Sunday or whatever time it is that we're coming in and out of here, people will take notice of who's coming in and out of this building, and they're going to be like, hey, we're watching those guys. We want to see how they are. We want to see how they treat each other. We want to see how they treat us. And so people will take notice.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much. I work in schools. And in schools, you guys know, I'm not starting the Christian club in school. I'm in public schools. I can't start the prayer at the pole. I can't do those things. Not here. Maybe in Texas, but not here. Not that I've been looking at Texas. You can get a big house for nothing in Texas. But then you got to live in Texas. I don't know if I want to do that.
Well, if you're going to play in Texas.
Play in Texas. So, but the idea is, in my schools, what happens is then I have to be Jesus in the space that I'm in because people will take notice. And so we're called to the very same thing here.
Yeah, so, exactly. No, so it's so good.
Yeah.
It's that part is so, so good. And I like the hope. You know, when we talked about this, we talked about not preaching a condemning word. Right. But a hope-filled word.
For sure.
A corrective word was actually, we don't want to preach a corrective word.
Right.
We can do that in private. We can do that in small conversations. But we don't want to be kind of railing against what, the evil of the week might be.
100%. Now, having said that, we hold true to God's word.
Yes.
Like we are a Bible-believing church. So don't get us wrong. We're not saying that we won't go to the difficult places. We will, and we will have corrective conversations when it's time, and when there's discernment and leading of the Holy Spirit to have those conversations with each other.
Yeah.
Then there's lots of space. But I spoke to this last week as we were getting ready to gorge ourselves on chicken wings, and the idea is we want to be known as the place that has room at the table.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make space at the table for people. And to do that, you have to have grace. And then the message that you're praying, the message that you're preaching starts from there. And then we move into the other things. Then we move into discipleship. Then we move into growing and weaning ourselves off of the milk and into the solid things, for sure. And we want to be solid in those things. But we want people to be able to come into the space and go, oh, I can be loved there. Like, this is a place that I can be loved. Man, who doesn't want to walk into that space?
Yeah. It's so good. Let's move on to talk about
prayer.
So we are, the second theme that we pulled out across the board in all of our groups was that we are deeply committed to prayer. And that is a really easy thing to say. It is, if you're going to be in church, you're going to talk about what's important. Somebody's going to say, prayer. Prayer is important. And we know that it is, right?
Yeah.
The difficulty is that we have a gap, right, between what we say we believe and what we say is important to us and what actually sometimes happens.
Right.
And I love I get to be a part of your life group. I think you are by far the best life group leader I've ever seen. And I'm not putting you on. I'm really serious.
Oh,
you are just amazing.
Thanks.
Right?
Thanks.
But I love the content. I love what we've been working through and talking through with
right.
prayer, just this that it has to be this foundation for us.
For
that
sure.
It's the thing that sustains us.
It is. Totally. It's totally that. It is the foundation of what sustains us. It's prayer. Like, I just want to, like, I want to go back just about a year's time, or just over a year's time. We found ourselves in a difficult position, and that's the truth of it, as a church and as leadership. And I had to step into a position, and my first sermon was the Nehemiah sermon. How many of you guys remember the Nehemiah sermon?
Mm-hmm.
Like, two of you, really?
Watch Claudia's
Buckle up,
Nehemiah.
Baby. I'm going to preach it right now. I got it on my phone. We're here till 3 o'clock. Yeah. You should have put your hands up, suckers. The idea behind the Nehemiah sermon was that we have found ourselves in a spot where we thought that our walls were completely torn down and they were rubble and we didn't know where and how we were going to go. We felt at a loss. And in that sermon, and I'm not, like, I don't bring this up so I can pat myself on the back because I knocked it out of the park. I did, and you should remember. But that, for me, that was a message that, like, the Holy Spirit downloaded for me in that week. And it was important. And the idea behind that message was that we think that we know what things are going to look like or where they're at in that moment. But the Holy Spirit has a different idea of it. And what we came out of that sermon was that it begins with prayer. And we were talking about rebuilding the foundation of our walls as City Light. And it began with prayer. We have people that are building and people that are praying. And then we're taking our turn at building, and then we're taking our turn at prayer. And that was the moment that, for me, as even part of leadership here, it turned the switch for me. Where we thought we were and where we thought we were going to go and where God was actually going to take us. And it was the foundational piece of that sermon, and I think it did really turn the tide for us as a church, was prayer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's the foundation that sustains us,
yeah.
But it's also the catalyst that propels us.
Yeah.
Right? So here's the thing, right? We're in a great spot. I mean, and everybody having fun in church, right? It's fun to be a part of this right now and to see where God is taking us and to walk along, like really kind of run along, trying to keep up to him.
For sure.
Right? But unless we give ourselves to praying, unless we make this the center for us, right, the momentum vanishes.
Right.
We live in this season of grace where we're living on the prayers that other people have prayed.
Yeah.
But we need to kind of catalyze. We need to tap into the power of prayer so that something catalytic continues to propel us forward.
For sure. Like, restoration begins and ends with prayer.
Yeah.
And if we're looking at the idea of catalyst, which is one of the things that we kind of have up on our, I'll paint a picture for you.
Do it.
What a catalyst does is it's an activator. So again, back in the day when I was a painter, I mean, that's a different world for me, but when I was a painter, I was a lacquer man. So I was a spray guy. So when you went into a house and you saw all your wood trim that you see around your windows and all that, I was the guy that like had the spray gun and I sprayed all that. And I was actually really good at it. And we did some really cool stuff. And what we used was a material called lacquer. And lacquer is beautiful, and it has a beautiful finish. Like, if you know how to work with lacquer properly, it looks stunning. But the thing with lacquer is this. Lacquer can only do so much. For lacquer to work properly, you need a catalyst. And that's a different...
That's so good.
And that's a different product that you mix into your 5-gallon pail of lacquer. And you take this catalyst and you mix it in. And when you mix it in properly, what happens is that activates the lacquer to work exactly how it's meant to work. Without it, the lacquer won't do the job it's supposed to do. You can spray it on and it might look good for about 2 minutes. And then it won't dry properly, or it'll run on you, or it'll get what we call orange peel. It'll have all kinds of little defects if you're trying to spray lacquer without the catalyst. Once that catalyst goes in, it activates it, and it makes the finish proper. And when you see beautifully sprayed things, it's because the right amount of catalyst or activator has been mixed into the product.
Wow.
That's prayer.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer is the activator of the things that God has called us to do as a church. God's calling us to shine brightly. God is calling us to love our neighbor. God is calling us to love each other. God is calling us to love him. All of these things will work when we go into prayer and then let the Holy Spirit take a hold of us. And that is the catalyst that's going to move us, move us forward and activate us into the things that God has for us.
Yes, that's really good. Great insight. I get nervous every time you come to my house. I'm afraid you're going to look at my painting.
I already did.
Finally, prayer is the power that transforms us and brings us hope, right? And so we need that on a personal level. We need to experience his transformation. We need to experience his hope. But also, as people we make connection with, right, we bring transformation and we bring hope. As you know, Claudia works with high school students. I work with politicians. They act about the same some days. You know, most days.
I bet they do.
Most days, right? A lot of the same operating systems are there, right? Yeah. And we do the same thing, right? You bring the power of God's presence and life into that environment
100%.
Through prayer, and things change and shift. Do you want to say anything else there?
Yeah. Well, it's not... Well, like when we're talking about the idea of power and the transforming power of prayer, it's not wishful thinking. Like, I think sometimes that's where we land in our prayer life. It turns into wishful thinking, and it's not that, because wishful thinking is so limited, and if we start thinking in that way, what happens is then, like, we bring our own limited expectations to what we think God can do, because it's just wishful thinking, and it's got no depth to it, right? So then we're like, well, I sure hope we get 80 people this week. I sure hope. And it's not that, because there's power.
True.
Yeah. Like, there's power in it.
Yeah. Praying is not hoping and wishing.
No, because it's hope in a big God.
Yes.
That's what it is. So hope does run in that. But it's not a wishful thinking hopefulness. It's a hopefulness in the bigness and the faithfulness of who God is. And that's where the power comes. So it's not from us, but from God. Even in our unbelief, the scripture says that we can ask for the Holy Spirit to help us with our unbelief. That's about the power of who God is.
Yeah.
And not about who we are or what we think God can and can't do. So for me then, it changes. What happens is it changes how we come to things if prayer is powerful. What happens is, and we've said it lots of times, I've said it lots of times, and I'll keep saying it as we go forward into this series. And prayer needs to be our first response, not our last resort.
That's right.
Because if we believe in the power of prayer and the power of God, then that's where we're going to go first. It's our first response. Like, it should be our natural response, not our last resort where, well, we've tried everything we can, I've done everything that I got, and here I am in this situation, or here things aren't moving forward because I've done all the things that I can. Like, that's not where our heart needs to be. Our heart needs to be, we need to land here first.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's prayer. And that's where the power comes
it's
from.
It's so good. It's really good. So it's easy again. It's easy to talk about this stuff. It's easy to go, this is really, really important. But we know that we have to, in this case, right, for City Light at this time, put action to our words. So through the fall, in the fall, we're going to set aside a weekend and we're going to do a whole full-on prayer encounter.
Right.
And that, the whole purpose of that is, somebody, if your heart stops beating, right, the paramedics come and I watch all the Grays shows, right? So it's like everybody, I could probably actually do that paddle thing because I've watched Meredith do it so many times.
So you could do it?
Well, probably I could. I mean, I don't know that, if you'd live if I did it. But,
okay.
But probably I could.
That's way different.
I'm not a doctor, but I've watched one on TV. Right?
Sure.
But we're in this place where we kind of need that sort of a jolt, right, to kind of kick us back to life a little bit.
For sure.
In this area to get us going. So we're going to plan in the fall for a prayer encounter weekend.
Yeah.
We want you to be a part of that. When it happens, we'll give you plenty of notice. Clear your calendar.
Yeah.
It's going to be life-changing, I promise.
Yeah.
And so we want to be a part of that because that's going to fuel us for our future. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. I love it when we're going down the road like this together. Yeah. That's really
and
awesome.
It is. And we are going together. That's what I love about this.
We are going together because you and I both have full-time jobs. And we don't... I have a full-time job. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, buddy.
I have a full-time job.
I know you do. I know.
I know.
You work really hard. Like, I'm in awe of what you do. I really am. I'm not kidding you. I'm not
Doug's the only one that's retired here.
Who, Doug? Yeah, right?
Just look at Doug's calendar.
And he's always too busy.
Look at Doug's calendar. He's got about 80 meetings a week.
He does.
And only 74 of those are golf.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's probably true, actually.
Sorry, and having brought Doug up, just, folks, I just want you guys to know, Doug has been and is part of
he's
this.
He's part of the team.
It's just that... three of us didn't fit up here. I'm not going to say why. I didn't eat that many wings last week. So, but just so you know, it is Doug is part of this. He has been part of this.
Yeah.
Doug
he knows what's going on.
And Doug and I will be doing this again next week as we kind of finish off some.
I'm going to recommend that he wear that same shirt because it just makes his blue eyes pop. It's like he just.
I know.
He looks like he's a Viking or something.
Oh, I was going to say, I know. He looks pretty handsome.
Well, easy now.
Okay.
Easy. That'll go straight to his head. And then we have to do a whole thing on humility, right? We've got somebody between you and Jane as we talk about how handsome you are. So there you go.
So, folks, this is kind of where we're at. One of the things that we think is super important as a lead team is communication. We want to communicate as much as possible with all of you. We want you to all be
in the loop,
in the know, so that we're all, again, it's about going together. It's about building a culture of moving together as a family, as a pack, as a team.
Yeah.
And so this is why today it looks like this, because we think it's super valuable. And we think you're super valuable. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear where your prayers are at. We want to hear if you feel the Holy Spirit is giving you something and there's discernment. And we want to hear those and we want to have those conversations. Because, again, we value your voice in the middle of this.
Yeah.
And so that is super important to us as a lead team.
Yeah, and our hope is that as we walk through this, for those of you that participated in the process, as we walk through this, you're going to see things. You might even hear things that sound exactly like what you said, mm-hmm. right? In those sessions. Some of it's distilled, some of it's paraphrased a little bit.
Right.
But there are things that everything that's coming out that's in here is coming out of the input that we received that we believe
100%.
Holy Spirit is speaking to us
yeah.
about. So we're going to wrap up with, we got two quick things. Number one, here we go. Number one, vibrant worship. You know what? We are ridiculously talented when it comes to our worship teams. We have some incredible, gifted, talented people.
We really
are,
yeah.
And we've got a really good culture, right? Our people love to lead. They're very good at it. The church loves to be responsive. That part is really good. And so actually, worship team, why don't you come and just get set up to kind of help us wrap this up a little bit as we transition into our wedding shower, but there's some foundations in our worship stuff that we want to talk about just really quickly, right? And number one, the approach that we're taking is this is not a performance culture,
okay? Right.
This is, for us, this is not a performance culture, but we want to do worship. It's got to be quality, but we're looking for worship that invites people into an encounter with Jesus.
Yeah.
Our hope, our prayer, our deep desire is that every time we come together to worship collectively, you encounter, people in every seat encounter and experience the presence of God.
Right.
That's so important to us.
It is. And we've been blessed. We are blessed that we have the folks that we do.
Yeah.
I love the idea that we are making tons of space for our young
people
to come on up and be part of this, because that's just a continuation and some legacy stuff. When it comes to
it's
our worship,
for tomorrow.
It's building for tomorrow. Yeah. And so, yeah, we have our young people up. I know we don't have Tidal up there today. Tidal plays guitar as well. So one of these days, what's going to happen is we're going to have a whole band of youth up there. And maybe we'll have a particular young man who likes the microphone come up and maybe preach a word.
Wow.
Can you imagine
that,
folks?
Wouldn't that be good?
Can you imagine?
That'd be so awesome.
Can you imagine we have a youth-led service? That's building for the future.
Yeah.
And we're set up that way because we already have good worship leadership happening. And so we're already on our way for that.
Yeah, exactly. We want our worship to unite us, to bring us together, yeah. Right? Sometimes the enemy will try to use worship as a wedge to divide us. We're not in that scene. We're not drinking that Kool-Aid.
No.
Right? We are here to bring people together,
yeah.
To unite hearts. This is the beautiful thing. When we sing together, our hearts become one, our minds become one, our voices are one, and there is this collective expression of worship to our Father in heaven. And finally, we want worship that just transcends the generations.
Yeah.
If it's all about young people, that's not going to fly. If it's all about people who aren't young anymore, that's not going to fly either. There's got to be this blend and this gel that works for everybody. Here's finally, as we wrap this up and as we transition, here's what we want you to see and hear more than anything else. Take me to the last slide, please, Jerry. Right? We're not the little church that could.
Right.
We're the little church that can.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? We're the little church that can.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 19. He said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, everything is possible.
Amen.
Everything is possible.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's where we're going.
That's where we're
going
to be.
Hey, Jesus.
Yeah.